Welcome to installment 80 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss prohibition number 356, the prohibition of remarrying one's wife after she has been divorced and married someone else in the interim. This prohibition is detailed in the book of Deuteronomy, verse 4, and so on, verse 3 and 4. After describing the process of writing a get, a Jewish divorce, as we discussed in the previous portion from Sefer HaMitzvahs, it says that when she leaves his household and she has been given the get, she is free to go and marry another man. If, however, her second husband divorces her, or if her second husband goes and dies and leaves her a widow, then the first husband who divorced her cannot remarry her. As the verse says, she is now forbidden to him. The Chinuch points out that after a man has divorced his wife, she is not forbidden to him, and he is allowed to go and remarry her. In fact, the Chinuch says, not only he is allowed to remarry her, he is encouraged to go and remarry her. As long as she is not evil and she has done something wicked in order to go and deserve to be divorced, and it should be a dangerous thing to marry her again, he is encouraged actually to go and remarry her. However, the commandment here says that that's only before she has become married to someone else. If she has become married to someone else, even if it has just been Edison, and the marriage has not been consummated, she becomes forbidden to him, and he is no longer able to go and marry her again. Of course, while she's married to the second husband, it wouldn't even be thought that he can marry her. She's already a married woman. But even after the second husband releases her from the second marriage, by giving her a get, by giving her a writ of divorce, he still cannot marry her. And not only that, even if the second husband has died, as it says in the verse, and she is left widowed from the second husband, this first husband is not allowed to go and take her back. And this is the prohibition of machzir grushase, of going and bringing back one's divorced wife, which applies only if she has been married in the interim. The verse continues that to do so, it concludes, would be repulsive to God, and you must not bring immorality to the land that God your Lord is giving you as a heritage. How do we see that this is immorality? If previously he was allowed to go and marry her before she has become married to a second man, why is it now that it suddenly becomes forbidden? The Chinuch goes and refers to other places where he discusses in general the Jewish laws against arayos, against sexual immorality. We would not go and suspect Jewish people of going and certainly committing adultery, and not even to go and have cohabitation without a valid marriage, as the Rambam mentioned previously, that this is also a biblical prohibition. However, one might think that it would be a technical way around these laws, and as was prevalent in many cultures, to go and have actual wife swapping. How could one have wife swapping and avoid adultery? Very simple, one might think. You could go, and a man could go and give his wife a divorce, and another man could give his wife a divorce. Then they would go and have, since everyone was now free to marry, they could marry the other man's wife. And then when it came time to switch back, they would all go and give a divorce, and they could go and remarry the original wife. And therefore, it would be technically nothing wrong. That technically, there would be a marriage and a divorce and a remarriage, and no wrongdoing would occur. However, this would in effect be the exact same thing as wife swapping. It would be wife swapping, and it would be only a technical way around the law. Therefore, the Chinuch explains, in order to go and discourage any sort of immorality, and to go and make such a thing impossible, that the verse indicates that once she has been married to someone else, she is forbidden to go back to her first husband. And the prohibition is actually on the man, that he cannot go and remarry his wife after she has been with another man. And this is this prohibition of machzir grushase. We can understand this mitzvah a little better by looking into the Chassidic explanation of a marriage and the relationship between a man and a woman. We find in the Gemara that even before the husband and wife have been born, before they're even babies, when they're still in the womb of their mothers, already a baskel, a heavenly voice declares who is going to be married to who. And therefore, the souls, even before they've been born, have a connection with each other. As the Zayar declares that each soul is plag gufa, as we mentioned once before, that each soul, the man's soul and the woman's soul, are really not complete. Each one is half of a single coherent unit. And only upon marriage do both of these halves receive their completion. Do they become a full soul and fulfilled in the unity that they were lacking before they were married? Since even before they were born, they were part of one soul, and half was put into one womb, and half was put into the other, and they were born and grew up as only half of an neshama, as half of a soul. Upon marriage, these two halves go and become complete and come together. Which is one of the explanations of the common Yiddish phrase that it's everything's bashert, that this shidduch, that the match which was made for the man and the woman, that they finally managed after so many trials and tribulations to find each other, was bashert, that it was all foretold, that it was already decreed from the heavens. This is because the two souls, even before they were born, had a connection with each other. We can therefore understand the seriousness of a divorce in the eyes of Jewish law. If these two were meant for each other, how can they divorce? How can we be sure that each half will find another half that they can go and fulfill their life with? Who says that they will be able to find someone will be able to go and complete their life to go and fulfill their neshama, their soul? And therefore we find, as the Chinuch says, that even after a time that it should become necessary for whatever reason to divorce, that it's still a mitzvah of machti grushase, that if it's in any way possible to go and take back one's wife, that since it's been decreed from heaven that this is the match that was meant, and this is the match that's parshert, it's only under extreme circumstances that the divorce can lead to a successful remarriage, to a successful conclusion. And as long as it is possible, one should go and endeavor to go and take back the wife. However, Judaism recognizes that sometimes this is certainly impossible, that just as the marriage was meant to be, that somehow the divorce was meant to be. And after the woman is remarried, this is a final proof that it is impossible that one's completion should go and be through this original match. This original marriage and divorce must be somehow viewed as a preparation, or as a purification, or somehow an introduction to a later advancement and a later progression in a later marriage and a later state of development. And therefore, machzi grushase, the prohibition of taking back one's wife, indicates the final judgment and the final showing that it is impossible for these two neshamas to go and get together. But before that, we see that the two neshamas, the two half-souls, are still somehow tied to each other. And until this time, it's still a positive thing for them to get together. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvot from the Rambam. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.